These telephone wires sing over the fields. The man of the hour, the only shield. An instant addiction has been revealed. Moments you share in moments you steal. And it begins with these small town hymns. Carry him through your heart and all your limbs. A parade of wrongs will serve you right. Like the moth has a choice when it sees the light. And word has spread like a forest fire. All the voices forming a small town choir. And it begins in these small town hymns, judging them over and over and over again.
Toronto-based band Graydon James and the Young Novelists will be bringing their folk rock stylings to Guelph on Friday, July the 18th for a noon-hour concert in St. George's Square, downtown Guelph. Formed in 2011, their first EP, A Small Town Eulogy, was released to critical acclaim. They followed that with a live album recorded in Guelph at Dublin Street United Church, and then their first full-length long player in The Year You Were Born. They're about to head into the studio to start work on their latest release. We caught up with Graydon James in Toronto. So it's great to talk to you today, Graydon.
That's nice to talk to you too.
What I'd like to do at the start of this interview is give you a chance to talk about Graydon James and the Young Novelists. I think you've been together for about 4 years, is that right?
That's true, yeah. August 2009 was our first shows.
So tell us how you started the band. You know, one of the things I always find fascinating about this sort of interview is getting an understanding of why people decided they wanted a band and why it was going to be more than just a casual thing. So let's start there.
That's a good question. We started out that I had a band many moons ago, and we were not doing much. We were just, you know, kind of a casual hobby band, but I wanted to do more things. So that band sort of went its separate ways, but I had a bunch of songs that I knew that if I didn't record them in some way that I would probably forget them, to be frank with you. So I started recording the songs just in my basement, and then I eventually had a triple CD worth of songs that I released, and which is a bit of a crazy thing to do. And then I was like, well, I've got this triple CD, you release a recording and then you go on tour. So I thought I'm going to have a tour. And so I set up an East Coast tour. And then I realized that the recordings that I'd made they all sounded like a full band, but I was just one person. So I was like, well, I need a band if I want to try to make these songs sound similar in a live setting. So I just contacted a bunch of people that I knew in the community, like different musicians that I played with, and I got people together for a 2-week tour. And we first started playing like about 2 weeks before that tour began. So we had 2 weeks of rehearsing, and then we went on tour for 2 weeks. And then by the time we got back, we were a band. And we've had a few lineup changes over the course of the time, but pretty much that core group of folks that went on that tour that's the band.
So I noticed there are times when you're just playing with your partner Laura Spink. Does that mean that the band is somewhat fluid and depends very much on the event, the venue, etc., whether it's a full band sound or whether it will be you two as a duo? Because you do sound great as a duo as well.
Well, thank you. We started getting sort of requests for venues that the full band was a bit too logistically difficult to bring, or just harder to make it work in a smaller space, or in a house concert, or things of that nature. So then we started thinking like, well, we can try these shows as a duo and see how they work. And it's taken us a while of trying to figure out how to rearrange the songs and make them still sound the way we would like them to sound. But I think we're getting to a space where, you know, the duo performance is its own sort of beast, and the band is its own thing, and each one has its different kind of feel and different vibe, and they both feel good, which is kind of nice.
I presume there are situations as well with certain songs that actually feel much more of a duo song rather than a band song. Is that right?
There are. There are songs that are sort of, because I'm writing the songs and Laura's my wife, I tend to write some songs about our relationship. And so there are songs sometimes where it's like, it does have a very much a couple singing a song on stage kind of vibe, even with the band there. So it's fun to sort of bring the energy from one to the other and back and forth. And it changes how you sort of perform the song a little bit, but it's an interesting change for us at least.
Well, I would imagine it does, with obviously a completely different arrangement in certain situations. I'd like to talk a little bit about Graydon James and the Young Novelists on disc, because your first EP was very well received. Was entitled A Small Town Eulogy, and I'm just curious whether that reflects your own history. Are you originally from Toronto or from somewhere else?
I'm originally from a town called Verona, which is a pretty small town. It's a town of 1,000 people north of Kingston. And most of the people in the band are from small towns around Ontario, everywhere from like my tiny town of 1,000. Laura's from Peterborough, which is, you know, a sort of a mid-sized town for sure. There's only one person who was even born near Toronto, and that's our drummer, Mike. And he was in sort of Scarborough area when he was growing up.
Does that small town experience, does that inform your music in a big way?
I would say for sure. And I'm not positive that it's particularly weird or different perspective than most people have. I think a lot of people have that similar background, or small towns are sort of the heart of the country in their way, and I think a lot of people have that that background too. So it certainly informs though the ideas that I have and what I think I value as a songwriter and maybe even as a storyteller.
Well, you know, that raises a good question, and one I always like to ask the artists that I interview is to whether you are someone that, you know, works on the idea for a song and perhaps is working on crafting lyrics before you actually start to think about the musical arrangement that will accompany it.
I actually, I've done that only once in my life. Have I ever written lyrics and then written music afterward? I almost always have a lot of musical ideas, and then I'm trying to find ways to to find lyrics for those musical ideas. And I find that hard. I mean, I don't know if this is true of most songwriters, and but people that I've talked to, it's certainly true that the lyrics are the hardest part. And I'm not sure if that's because you just end up doubting yourself about that more, or if it's, you know, that it's just you want to find a new way to say something that hasn't been said before, hopefully. But I do spend a lot of time trying to figure out what I'm going to say with the song, and either finding the first line or finding the chorus, that really helps to determine the story of the song, and then, you know, working out the rest of the details of it. How personal is it? Like, is it about me, or is it about somebody else, or is it something that's entirely fictional? And a lot of times you're taking stuff that you've heard from your friends or from your own life and working it into, even in a completely fictional story, you'll work in those kind of personal details that you remember from your own past or from stories you've heard.
You know, that's interesting, because when you mentioned storytelling and things, I always tended to imagine, and certainly seeing you live, that you're very fond of telling stories. I know you'll talk about songs that may be more personal, and I think particularly when you're playing with Laura, it's interesting to hear that. And I've heard it from other people that you think, well, surely they would be somebody who's working on the idea behind the song before they actually bring it to a musical arrangement. But that's something you don't do, because if I remember rightly, you are also a writer, and I think you have written a book as well. I'm not sure. Is it a novel or?
It is a novel, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
It's called The Mall of Small Frustrations, and it's about a varied cast of characters all interacting in a suburban shopping mall, and which can be a pretty boring place to be, so there's a lot of things that they do to themselves that make their lives a bit more interesting.
Which, you know, sounds like it could be eventually become a concept album.
It almost could. I started once when I was in university. I started writing. I was trying to write a song for every person that I knew, and I didn't get very far with that, because I do think it's when you're writing the music and then you start to write the lyrics, you end up deciding, I guess, the story based on the lyric that you figure out works with the music. And that means that it's difficult to force a song to be about a particular person or a particular event, unless you're a better songwriter than I am, which is, there are a lot of people out there who can do that, and that's amazing. I have to kind of follow my instinct on what comes out and how it comes out, and see where it takes me. Sometimes it goes to a place that I think is worthwhile, and other times it doesn't go anywhere. And so you end up, I've learned, I think, better as I've gone, which one of those is going to be the case earlier on, you know, finding out like, oh yeah, you know what, that I have a first line for this, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. So I can kind of shelve that idea and try to find something else.
So I presume that it sits in a book somewhere until if and when you ever decide that you can do something with it again?
Yeah, usually. But I actually write most of my songs on the backs of envelopes, which is a weird thing to do. I used to be a mailman for Canada Post, and I did that for many years. And I got all my pay stubs came in envelopes that had completely blank backs. It's rare to find an envelope that has a completely blank back these days. So I would take my pay stub out of the envelope, and then I would save all the envelopes, and I wrote all my songs on the back of those envelopes. And that's still kind of what I do. I still have a bunch of those envelopes, and that's where I write the songs, which is somewhat ironic, writing.
But you know,
songs in the back of your former pay stubs.
It sounds like a great idea. I can just imagine, you know, we'll fast forward 100 years and people are saying, and here's some of Graydon James's envelopes that he wrote his songs on, which is it's one of those quirky situations that it is wonderful to hear about with artists. Now, one of the other interesting things you've done in your career with the band is the fact that you recorded this live album, live at Dublin Street United Church in Guelph, which was, I think, actually the second album with the band, right? That came before your first band LP, is that right?
It did, yes. So yeah, we had the EP, the four song EP, and then we did a live album, and then we did a full song, a full length album in the studio. It was an interesting experience because we had the show booked at the church, and you know, it was our first time playing in a venue that we were very impressed by the acoustics of the venue, and the, you know, we knew it was going to be a pretty special kind of a show, and so we thought, well, let's just try to record it and see what happens. Like, if nothing comes of it, then nothing comes of it. But, you know, we'd like to just try to record the show and see if it works out for us. And it was funny because after we played the show, we all felt really not great about our performance. And then I think it's something that, you know, you learn as a band, like, your personal impression of how the show went isn't always accurate. And we listened back to the recording, and we actually were like, well, you know, it wasn't nearly as bad as we thought it was. And it's even possibly releasable. So, you know, we worked with it, and we were able to release it as an album, and that was kind of an amazing thing. It was a good step for us as a band just to take that, you know, it requires a certain maturity to look at what you've done and determine whether or not it's worthwhile. And I think it also is a good sort of confidence booster to be like, oh yeah, you know what, if we think, oh, I missed that harmony, or oh, I missed that moment in that song or whatever, you're not always right about that. Sometimes it's worthwhile to record yourself and listen to what you're doing and have a more objective view.
Well, you know, actually, I really like the idea, because I think sometimes artists can be a little slow getting back in the studio, not because they don't want to, but because there's, you know, they may be touring, they may be, you know, maybe dealing with the day-to-day challenges of financial aspects of recording, that you really need to go ahead and earn a bit of money so you can actually get back in there. The idea of putting out a live album like this, and also, you know, that I think from the point of view of someone who might be interested in the band, is often the best way to get a feel for, you know, what this band's like. Is this somebody I'm going to want to follow, you know, throughout their career, when you actually get to hear them live? So I actually think it was a really great step, and which is one of the reasons I want to talk about it today. Now, your first album, I think, came out in 2012. That was in the year you were born, right?
That's true.
And you're just about to go into the studio again. So tell us a little bit about the direction you're moving in now.
The album that we're doing now, we're working with a fellow named Carlin Nicholson, who's in a band called Zeus, and he's producing this one, and we're pretty excited about it, because he's got a lot of ideas about how he wants things to sound, and that's always kind of, as a band, you get pretty insular, and it can be hard to sort of break out of that band mentality. And so introducing somebody new who has different ideas about how things can sound or where things can go, that's always pretty exciting. So we're looking forward. It's actually like next week that we're going into the studio. So, it'll be pretty great.
And do you have any timeline for when that album will be released?
Likely it'll be in the spring of 2015. We want to take our time to make sure that you know, everything sounds the way we want it to sound. The last full-length album, we had a very strict timeline with it, and that has its bonuses and its negatives. You can't just sit around and, you know, say, oh, I want to tweak this, you know, 5% this way and then 5% back the other way and so forth. You have to sort of make your decisions and go, and that can be good, but we're going to try having a bit more time with this one and see that whether it improves the process and the product.
Now, am I right in thinking that you are you the principal songwriter in the band? Is anyone else writing material for this album?
I write the chord structure and the lyrics, and everybody else does all the arrangement stuff. And as I'm sure you know, the arrangement stuff can make a huge difference on how a song sounds. So it's as much as you know, the lyrics are mine and the chords are mine. I really do think the songs are written by the band when we get together and in the rehearsal space and kind of bang them out.
Now, I mentioned at the start of the interview, you're going to be in Guelph on Friday, July the 18th for a noon hour concert. It takes place in St. George's Square, part of the New Now series they run every year. Mm-hmm. But I think you're also coming on tour this fall, is that right?
That's true. We're working on some dates in not just in Ontario. We're also going to be in the United States for the first time. So that'll be pretty exciting as well. But yeah, we're going to be in Guelph in the fall as well, and then we'll be back again in the spring with a new album. But we'll have all the songs will be new when we're playing them. So it'll be pretty exciting.
And I presume that when people are seeing you in the fall, and perhaps even on the concert in a week or two, will you be playing some new songs there that actually have not made it to disc yet?
It's true, we will be. Yeah, there'll be a few songs that'll be played that haven't been on recorded yet.
Well, look, I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. A couple of things we need to do before we finish, though, is if people want to learn more about Graydon James and the Young Novelists, how should they do that?
They can go to www.theyoungnovelists.com. That's our website, and that's the best place to learn more about what we're doing.
And they can get all the links from there. And I presume that if people want to buy the music, can they buy that through the website?
They can, yeah. There's a store there, and there's hopefully as much information as you need. But you can also always email me, Graydon@theyoungnovelists.com.
That's great. You know, I think that's good. And then maybe you'll write a song, put it on the back of an envelope for people listening to this show this morning.
If anyone wants me to write a song for them and put it on the back of an envelope, then feel free to make a request. I'll do it.
That's great. Well, look, I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. We're going to play one of your songs just now, and I'm going to let you introduce it. So what we're going to play?
We're going to play a song called Hear Your Voice. And this was, we recorded a two-song single, but this song is actually going to be re-recorded brand new for the next album as well. So it's a song when Laura and I have a son, and when he was first born, she would often go and visit family or visit friends, and I would be home, and because I was still working. So I would think to myself, like, oh, yes, I'm going to have, you know, time and space to myself and be able to get a full night's sleep and all these nice good things. But really all that ever happened was that I would be awake at 3 a.m. wondering what they were doing. And so I wrote a song, and it's sort of about that, just wanting to hear their voices.
Well, that sounds great. I wanted to thank you, Graydon, for spending the time to talk to us today. This is Graydon James and the Young Novelists, and Hear Your Voice, and we look forward to seeing you again in Guelph.
Thanks so much, Dan.
I was outclassed, I was staring into the flame. You were looking back, we must have been feeling the same. Oh, I try and I fail, and no one's to blame. I hate the face in the mirror, and that hasn't changed, that hasn't changed. Maybe